Hey, everyone. I'm Ashley Banfield. This is Drop Dead Serious, another hell of a day. So much stuff has been coming in that I just kind of had to collate it really quickly, get on air, and tell you the highlights or lowlights in the Nancy Guthrie investigation. For starters, another piece of my reporting has just borne out to be true, and that is that there are multiple Nest cameras. Look, we had all assumed so, but finally the sheriff actually just admitted it, that there are multiple Nest cameras. I had said that on day three. And the bad news that comes with that is that apparently the video from inside the house in those other Nest cameras can't be extracted, at least not yet. I'm going to explain that coming up in just a moment. Also, something really pissed me off today. You probably all saw this. There was a blue shirt that was left on Nancy Guthrie's front walk. And Michael Ruiz from Fox News saw it in his video as he walked up the front walk and then ultimately saw the blood drops at the front doorstep. And we all wondered, what is that? It was a blue L.L. Bean shirt. It seemed very, very confusing. And now finally we have the answer. It's Nancy's shirt. I'll explain why it was left out on the front walk, who was using it, and, you know, how this could have happened. That's coming up on this episode as well. The DNA test results are in, and it is a shit show again. They tested the glove from 2 miles away in CODIS and got the results, but they waited on the unknown male DNA from inside the home. Still waiting on that to go into CODIS. Why would they do that one first? That one was such a long shot, right? Side of the road, 2 miles away. I'll explain all of that. The sheriff's put out all these statements today, like just bullet points everywhere, and then cherry picked a few interviews here and there. And then he did something he should never, ever have done. He attacked Brian Enten. Fuck. Don't attack Brian Enten. That guy's reporting is impeccable. His standards are impeccable. The sheriff shit on News Nation, too, for a graphic that they put up last night highlighting all the missteps of the sheriff's investigation. And I'm not going to lie, every single one of them was a misstep. And somehow the sheriff seems to have a problem with that and shit on Brian Enten. I'm going to show you this confrontation. And Brian's such a gentleman, he didn't even take the bait. And I'm going to play you a lot of the interview with a lot of this new information from the sheriff, plus just a lot more reporting from all sorts of the different sources. I like to say I watch the news so you don't have to. Because if you had to watch all the sources and go through all of the, you know, Twitter updates, etc., you'd lose your effing mind. Because half the time during the day, I lose my effing mind. All right, let's start here. This is important. And it might just be sort of like one of the biggest things that came out today, other than the DNA results from CODIS. I'll get to that in a sec. Brian Enten sat down with Sheriff Chris Nanos, Pima County. And they talked about cameras, plural. And for the first time, this sheriff finally confirmed the reporting that I had weeks ago, on day three, right? On day three, I said that my source said there were multiple Nest cameras. The sheriff refused to confirm it. Well, he's doing it now. He said there are more Nest cameras to Brian Enten, but that they still don't have the video from Nancy's other cameras. A couple other things that the sheriff said, they're getting close. Well, Jesus, I hope so. We're at day 17. He said they're getting close. He called the guy a monster and said, if you're out there, you should be scared. That I'm going to play for you in just a moment, as well as this absolute attack on Brian Enten and News Nation's reporting, which was absolutely uncalled for. And it almost feels to me like the sheriff actually doesn't know, truly, some of the things that Brian Enten has actually reported out from other law enforcement sources, like he didn't know that Savannah Guthrie and her siblings had put out an appeal to the alleged, you know, ransom sender, you know, the person behind the alleged ransom notes. He didn't know that either. So that may be a factor here. I don't know. But I'm going to get to that in a second. Fox News has this great reporter, Matt Finn, who's been doing killer work on the ground. And he was the one who got the update today on what the hell that blue shirt was on Nancy's front walk. Sheriff Nanos told him. Let me read for you. Sheriff Nanos tells me, quote, that shirt was used by United States Border Patrol canine, and it was left behind by United States Border Patrol. Once we were notified, we retrieved it and verified it was left by USBP. And the reporting goes on to say U.S. Border Patrol, again, this is Matt Finn, U.S. Border Patrol tells Fox News' Matt Finn, its elite Borstar team used the shirt for a canine search at Nancy Guthrie's home the night she disappeared. I don't know, was that the night, I guess the Monday night? I'm guessing that's what it means. And then again, when the FBI returned to the property, Sheriff Chris Nanos previously said the bright blue shirt was used by U.S. Border Patrol canine team. The shirt was left behind and then retrieved. Video showed it near the blood drops on her front step. Man, that just makes me so frustrated. So I take from that that U.S. Border Patrol got the item of clothing from Nancy Guthrie that had her scent and then gave that to the dogs to try to track. And when their work was done, somebody left it there, just left it there. And it was there, I think, for a couple of days before it was finally retrieved. So there's that mystery. I don't think it's satisfactorily resolved, but it's at least resolved. Also, another mystery that I think a lot of you have been talking about and reporters have been trying to get to the bottom of, I think we're down to the bottom of it now. Michael Ruiz, actually, thank you, Michael, for doing your great work out there, Fox Digital. He reported that the sheriff is dispelling speculation about that business card. You probably saw that it was in Nancy Guthrie's door. They stuffed it in there. It was an agent with Arizona's Adult Protective Services, and the name was on there, the phone number, but like, what the hell? How many days after she disappeared did that suddenly show up? And what member of the government walked up on this crime scene and said, oh, here, you know, it just left a lot of speculation. But this is what Sheriff Nanos told Michael Ruiz. The day she was reported missing, a neighbor called Adult Protective Services. They sent an investigator to check on her. This confirms the report was made after her suspected abduction, but we knew that. We knew that because when Brian Enten rolled up and shot his video on Monday, that card was not there. And this from the Arizona Republic. The Arizona Republic reporter saw the card on February 3rd while taking photographs at the front door. A reporter called the phone number listed. An agent said the card was left after Nancy Guthrie's disappearance, not before. It was left so that Nancy Guthrie, an older adult who lived alone, could contact the agency if she needed services once she returned home safely. The Republic did not report on the card at the time. I don't know why. That would have been helpful because there was a lot of speculation. People were going bananas saying, see, she's being beaten. No, this was just, first of all, I can't believe that the person who left the card there wasn't watching the fucking news. 3 days into that story, it was the biggest story across the country, let alone in Tucson. Who the hell is this agent who just went up and said, you know, call me? Okay, I'm done. All right. From the Pima County Sheriff, bear with me. I'm going to read it word for word because words matter. And again, this is the first statement that came out today. I got a whole other one that came out later. So the DNA evidence from the gloves, we were all waiting on this, right? When are you going to let us know when it goes into CODIS and if there's a match? So the DNA evidence from the gloves found approximately 2 miles from the house was submitted to a lab in Florida and to CODIS this morning. There were no DNA hits in CODIS. That's a gut punch, right? At this point, there had been no confirmed CODIS matches in this investigation. So my first question was, well, what about the DNA inside the house? Right? Does that mean you put it in there too? Because I would assume you would take the DNA from inside the house, this unknown male DNA that's not one of her direct, you know, circle of friends or family. You would put that into CODIS first because that's the important DNA. The glove 2 miles down the road. Okay, I got it. Yeah, it's important. But the house? Yeah. They didn't. It's not done yet. So the next statement is here. DNA, this process takes time. As mentioned above, the gloves submitted to CODIS produced no hits. There is additional DNA evidence that was found at the residence, and that is also being analyzed. Watch this space. We'll find out when that's going to come back from CODIS. Hopefully, we'll get that. Maybe we won't. Maybe they will hold that. Maybe it's a strategy. I don't know. I'll give them that. But so far, we're being said it's also being analyzed. And by the way, I want to tell you something. I think a lot of us thought that the glove from 2 miles down the road was that glove we've all been looking at in a photograph by the New York Post. But TMZ reported today that is not the glove that was tested for DNA. It was a glove, but it was not the glove, which is curious because it looked a hell of a lot like the glove on the perpetrator on the doorbell cam. But okay, TMZ reports that's not the glove. The sheriff goes on to say the focus is today Nancy Guthrie's pacemaker. Investigators are attempting to locate the device and are working with the manufacturer and other experts in the field to assist in that effort. These are the signal sniffers, right? I've been talking about this for a couple days now. Brian Enten was reporting when the chopper was overhead, and he reported that these signal sniffers were like on the rudder, or at least somebody was hanging out of the chopper. And for lack of a better explanation, because it is really technical stuff, it's an electronic device that sends out a hello to a device like Nancy's pacemaker. Nancy's pacemaker is sending out advertisements. Hello, can anybody hear me? Can I connect with my phone? Can I connect with maybe the device that the Pima County Sheriff is using right now? It's doing what's called advertising, and it's doing it every couple seconds. So this device is reaching down to say, you damn right you can connect with me. Where the hell are you, right? What's great about this is if Nancy's alive, her pacemaker will obviously emit the signal. If Nancy is not alive, her pacemaker will still be working for years. Years. There are some limitations, all sorts of things that I don't really want to get into the details of it. There are some things that device, the signal sniffer, can't sniff through. But all in all, on the chopper or on drones, which other experts in the field have said would be really, really smart, that thing can reach 800, possibly even to 1,000 feet. So if the chopper is 800 feet above the houses or the fields, or if the drones are, it might actually be able to get a handshake, make a connection, and then answer that advertisement of Nancy's pacemaker. The company that is helping Pima Sheriffs do this is called Parsons Corporation, and they said that the Sheriff's Department requested the deployment of what they call their Bluefly Bluetooth and Wi-Fi search technology in early February. Thank God. That's about the best thing I have heard. I don't know how early, but let's read on. They made that request to assist in the search for Nancy Guthrie, and units were used during helicopter and ground search operations beginning February 3rd. February 3rd. That's Tuesday. That is early. That's the day I got all my breaking news from my source as well. Wow. Bluefly creates heat maps, they say, to detect electronic signals in challenging terrain, but declined to share further details due to sensitivity of the investigation. They also say it can reach 800 to 1,000 feet. And I had heard that from another guy that was intimately involved with the creation of this kind of technology. Also want to tell you a little bit about the work that's being done quietly behind the scenes right now. The doorbell video that you saw of the frightening perpetrator, that was released by the FBI, right? And investigators are actually working with Walmart, the management, to try to isolate and identify the individual who purchased that backpack. So this is something we all figured that was happening, right? That backpack, many have said that's exclusively sold at Walmart. I've seen some reporting saying it isn't. More reporting than not says that it's an exclusive item to Walmart. But those things have SKU numbers, right? Stock keeping units at SKU numbers, right? And you can find out because of the SKU number that is scanned when you go through the cashier, who was it that bought it? Let's line it up with the date of the purchase and get the camera. You know, this is easy stuff. Brian Koberger's on camera at Walmart buying all his fucking meals before he killed those four kids, including just hours before he killed those kids. So they're really good about this. And they're working with Walmart. And I'm hoping that that's going to be the linchpin. The DNA, I'm not feeling as good about that. it's unknown male DNA, you know, inside Nancy's house. I mean, your house probably has unknown male DNA that's not in your circle of friends and family. It comes in the mail. It comes in people's shoes. It comes in cleaners. It comes in visitors. Touch DNA can be transferred so many different ways. So I'm not as confident about that. But that fucking backpack and that balaclava and that stupid-ass gun holster, $10 at Walmart, that's something I am confident about. That's something I think he might have actually, you know, put together his crime kit all in one purchase. And that is possible. They call it cluster purchasing. Some of these criminals will go in and buy all the shit that they need to do their dirty work. And then, lucky for us, we track that stuff. So hopefully that's going to yield something. I'm crossing my fingers on the Walmart investigation. And they also, you know, if you buy it through mail order, they can track that too, right? It's got to go somewhere. Got to put in a credit card. So the statement about the Guthrie family, this is also in the first statement from the sheriff today. It's a little different. Suddenly he's using different language again. I don't get this, sheriff. Just stick with one fucking report and stay with it and like be consistent. Because you're sending reporters into like freak out mode trying to make sense of what you're doing. So yesterday he was so emphatic that the Guthrie family, the siblings and their spouses are cleared, period, end of story. And then today he put this out. In criminal investigations, evidence is examined to either build a case or clear individuals. At this point in the investigation, the Guthrie family, including siblings and spouses, has not been identified as suspects. It's just, it's back to the old language before he was definitive yesterday. So I don't know what to make of that. I know there's a lot of other reporting that said the FBI said no. Other reporters said their sources said that's not what we're doing. We're not clearing family yet. I also can report this from Arizona Family. Again, that's that brand that incorporates a couple of TV stations down in Arizona. Brianna Whitney posted this on X. Quote, I asked the FBI if their agency agrees with and can confirm Pima County Sheriff's Department's elimination of the Guthrie family, including siblings and spouses, as suspects in Nancy's abduction, attributable to an FBI spokesperson. Quote, the FBI doesn't have anything to add to that. And I know Megyn Kelly has an FBI source as well that said, nope, no, we're not. We're not clearing the family. So I don't know what the sheriff is doing. I'm not sure why he's yanking chains like that. Leeds, he says this, investigators are still processing evidence from two search warrants executed last week. The individuals who were questioned have been released and no arrests have been made. As this investigation continues, you can expect to see similar activity. Two search warrants that were executed last week. Okay, I am going to only guess here that there was a search warrant executed at the home on Friday night, just before Valentine's Day on the 13th, right? It kept us up till 4 in the morning. And then there was another warrant executed on a silver Range Rover, same night, same time, same group of people, over at a restaurant parking lot. Guy was detained, he was in cuffs, he was questioned, he was let go. Those would be two different warrants. You can't tow a car if you don't have a warrant. You can't search a car if you don't have a warrant. You can't open it up and start looking around unless you have like serious probable cause right there on the scene that there's something that's dangerous or illegal, then you can open it up. But it doesn't mean that the third guy, Carlos, from you know, a couple weeks ago, he was the first guy who was, you know, raided and then detained and then let go. I don't think that is this. Because I don't think that was a warrant. I still don't think it was a warrant. Nobody could find the warrant for that. And also, the language that the sheriff used was so weird. Court-authorized search, which to me meant the courts are allowed to search if there's probable cause to think Nancy's inside. You can just bust that door down. That's what I thought happened with Carlos's search. But I'm just reading his language for you. You can decide. Okay. The Pima County Sheriff's Department has not confirmed the number of leads investigators are actively pursuing. Regarding gun shops, investigators are canvassing businesses and showing the doorbell video released by the FBI to determine whether the suspect appears familiar. Well, you might be doing more than that because Brian Enten was reporting fully yesterday that there are 40 different photos and names that are being carried around by the FBI into various gun shops. And they're asking, have you seen these guys? Have they been in your store? Have they made a purchase? And so this is the way the Pima County Sheriff decides to respond, that they're canvassing businesses and showing the doorbell video. Well, for Christ's sake, you know what? I'll tell you something. You're going to see an interview with a gun shop owner who said, oh, yeah, they showed me pictures and gave me names. And I told them what I had seen and what I hadn't. So this is just bullshit. And then he doubles down with Brian Enten on an interview and starts taking the piss out of Brian Enten. Again, you go after Brian Enten, you lose Enten, you lose Cronkite, and you lose the country. You got to be a little older for that. Okay, regarding press briefings and interviews, say it with me, everybody. There are currently no press briefings scheduled should a significant develop occur. Press briefing will be announced, media will be notified, blah, 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 blah. Here's the second statement. This one came out later. DNA. The DNA that was submitted to CODIS was from the set of gloves found 2 miles away. It did not trigger a match in the National CODIS database and did not match DNA found at the property. The DNA found at the property is being analyzed and further testing needs to be done as part of the investigation. Investigators are currently looking into additional investigative genetic genealogy options for DNA evidence to check for matches. CODIS is one option of many databases that are available. Okay, so quick lesson here, because I know that you're hearing a lot about CODIS and familial DNA and genetic genealogy. So for lack of a better term, and I'm gonna give huge props to Gigi McKelvey, who's a fabulous podcaster, Pretty Lies and Alibis. Subscribe. Oh, by the way, subscribe to mine too. I should have asked you that at the beginning. If you wouldn't mind, it does me a real solid. Subscribe. And also subscribe to Gigi. She put up this graphic that basically explains the three different kinds of DNA testing. CODIS is a big, huge bucket of bad guys and some alleged bad guys. When someone's convicted of a crime, cheek gets swabbed, in they go into the database. So it's a bunch of offenders, right? Known offenders, millions of offenders. But it's also people who've been arrested. They get swabbed and they go in there too. They may not be offenders because they may have been cleared or the charges dropped or whatever. And then when they get to a crime scene and they know there's a bad guy who left something behind and they don't know who the guy is or girl, they take that profile and they put that into CODIS as well. It doesn't have a name, but we know that fucker did something bad. And maybe he did something bad somewhere else. And we've seen crimes connected that way before. So CODIS has that. And when you take a profile and you load it into CODIS, you get a direct hit, right? It's a full match. What they don't do is like partial matches. Like, okay, it's kind of that guy, but I think it might be his brother or his dad or his cousin. CODIS doesn't do that, right? They're just not set up for that. So what happens then is if there's this partial match, now you go onto the state's databases and you start looking at the partial matches. Those are called familial DNA investigations. And then after that, you can start going into investigative genetic genealogy. That goes even deeper. That goes to all the 23andMe's and the Ancestry.coms and all the different services that we've all uploaded our DNA to find out if we got a cousin in Ireland or if maybe we hail from Sweden. I don't know. Whatever reason you have or why you give it as a gift. Thing is that you have to check, I'm good with being in the big bucket of people. I'm okay with, you know, the police checking my DNA too. And not that many people do it. Actually, a lot of people check, no, I don't want to be part of that whole public database. I don't want to know if my grandpa killed somebody. A lot of people do that. So the investigative genetic genealogy takes a long time. It's a lot of work. You got to be really patient with that, sadly. It's going to take time, but investigative genealogy got us Brian Koberger, got us the Golden State Killer. It's gotten us a lot of people, so cross your fingers on that. Again, you got to have a good source of DNA. I just don't know that this male DNA that they found in Nancy's home is a good source. Like, I don't want to be graphic and gross, but in crime, sometimes you kind of have to. If there's semen found in the, yes, that's a great source, right? If there's blood, you know, yes, that's a great source. If there's sweat or blood on a pillow, that's a great source of DNA. If there's just DNA in the home, maybe like on the front, you know, entryway or on the kitchen counter, I don't know. That could have come in on a FedEx package. So again, it's all about the kind of DNA. and they're not telling us what they have. Tips. Here's another thing in the second statement from the Pima County Sheriff's. The following numbers come from the Pima County Sheriff's Department 911 Communications Center. These are total calls, including tips coming in on the Nancy Guthrie investigation. Tips have been coming into the non-emergency line, administrative lines, and 911. We do not track tips only. We've included last year's numbers for comparison. Total calls, 911, non-emergency, and the administrative lines from Feb 1 to Feb 16, 28,586. That's a lot, right? How does it compare to this exact same period last year? 18,000. So 28,000 have come in this, you know, Feb 1 to Feb 16 this year, 28,500. Last year at this time, 18,451. So total non-emergency line calls, same period of time, 20,968. And that compares to same period last year, 7,419. So that's really good, right? Lots of tips are coming in. And if you know anything, please call the FBI. 1-800-CALL-FBI. 1-800-CALL-FBI. So as for the FBI, here are some stats for them, too. The FBI's National Threat Operations Center routinely sees an influx in tips after any high-profile event. Any event mentioned in the news or online has the potential to result in an increase in incoming tips. NTOC, again, National Threat Operations Center, has received more than 18,000 tips related to the Nancy Guthrie case since February 1st. Threat intake examiners are working 24/7 to answer calls coming in to 1-800-CALL-FBI. And review those submitted at tips.fbi.gov. Another great place, tips.fbi.gov. As for the Guthrie residence, investigators have been at the property today. Again, today is the 17th. And they're conducting follow-up. Doesn't say what, though. And the details of the follow-up not being shared at this time. I have some reporting on that in a minute, some of the things that the reporters actually spotted. Let me finish with the sheriff's statement first, though. Pima County Sheriff's Department headquarters, we ask media crews conducting live shots at the headquarters to please be mindful of trash and use the available waste bins appropriately. Come on, guys. Come on, guys. He already hates us reporters. Don't be throwing your garbage out around there. Okay, there's other stuff there about break room and all the rest. And then they repeat the same press briefings interview. Currently no press briefing scheduled, blah, blah, blah. So with that, Brian Enten got an interview, a sit-down with Sheriff Chris Nanos today. And it was timed, okay, because I guess Chris Nanos was trying to get a couple of reporters in, and he was only given 10 minutes. And Brian knew when he came in that the sheriff wanted to ask him some questions, too, because he said so. The sheriff, greets him that way. Ugh. And so Brian said, okay, great. Well, let me get through all my investigative questions. And then his time was up. But the sheriff decided to go over time to just take the piss out of Brian Enten. So Brian sat down with the sheriff, and here are some of the highlights from the investigative aspect of the interview. Take a look.
Now we find a glove. The FBI says, well, we can send it to Quantico. And I said, well, you know what? Let's keep it all in one place. Let's just send it all to our lab. No, it is about keeping your evidence together in one spot. And when that report comes out, it goes to both agencies.
I know that you and the FBI were able to get those surveillance photos off the camera in the front of the house.
Yeah.
Any progress on the other cameras? Can you do the same thing?
Boy, I'm hopeful. Here's what happened there. So we, of course, that camera, we don't have, right? It was taken, removed from the scene, but we knew it existed. And we asked, I think it's Google Nest, Google, hey, what can you do with this? And we gave them the other cameras and asked the same. And they said, well, there's not a subscription here. And it is hard because it overwrites itself, right? Every, I don't know how many hours, maybe it's every 36 or 72, whatever it is. But you know what, Sheriff, we'll try. Thank you. The way they went. So there's other cameras. Your question, will we get more? We've asked the Google, hey guys, can you do this? And they said the very same thing. Sheriff, We don't think we can get anything, but we'll try. And that's all we're hopeful. If you're the guy, if you're that monster, you should be worried. You should let her go. Just let her go.
Are you getting closer?
I think we are.
So when Brian's 10 minutes were up, the timed 10 minutes he was allotted, that's when the sheriff decided to pick a fight with Brian Enten. Dude, read the fucking room. The whole country loves Brian Enten. That guy can do no wrong. And the sheriff decided that he was pissed off about a graphic that went up on News Nation last night. And he had it on his phone, okay? And when Brian even came in for the interview, he's like, I've got questions for you too, Brian. And so this graphic was on the sheriff's phone. And he starts grilling Brian Enten about the graphic that News Nation put up on the air last night, which effectively just listed line by line all the missteps that the Pima County Sheriff has had in this Nancy Guthrie investigation. So take a look at this graphic. Its headline is Pima County Sheriff Department Investigation Mistakes. And it starts this way. Delayed FBI assistance. That's a bit questionable because the FBI said it, but the sheriff said it didn't happen. Crime scene released quickly. Well, the sheriff copped to that. Missed the roof camera. They did. It had to be taken off days later. Delayed thermal imaging plane. No grid search done. Unaware of the Guthrie family videos. Well, we know that because it was apparently the sheriff's wife who had to tell him that the Guthries had recorded a video to the alleged kidnappers who were, you know, demanding ransom. Blocked the FBI from evidence. That's a bit questionable because it's not that they were blocked. The sheriff just sent the evidence to the lab. They always sent it to in Florida, and the FBI arrived the next day. So it's not necessarily, maybe that's not so accurate. And then no clear investigation lead. A lot of the people on the ground said they weren't sure who was leading the investigation, the feds or the sheriff. Those were the guys reporting to Brian Enten. That backtracking statements. Jesus, I mean, are you kidding me? Backtracking statements every day. There are statements that are unclear and backtracked. And then wrongly detaining a man. Not sure if he was wrongly detained. Certainly a man was detained. And it looks like he might not have anything to do with it. That's that Carlos fella from Rio Rico. Okay. So he has that graphic on his phone. And he's like seething. I guess he's been watching a lot of TV and he didn't like that. And so he decided to go after Brian Enten. The Brian Enten. Yeah, the guy that you and I and everybody else in America absolutely loves. Like he's our generation's Cronkite. And if you lose Cronkite, Sheriff Nanos, anyway, here's how that all went down. Take a look.
You're fair in your questions today.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought that the post on last night that I received of what you guys displayed on your screen of faults from this department, not one, not two, not some, every single one of those can be disputed. That they're completely without any factual basis to them. And that inaccuracy, I would think your team, your producers and network would want to resolve.
Okay, I don't think that's going to go over well. I just don't think attacking Brian Enten is going to win you any any candy boxes or flowers. But then something else happened. A Fox reporter was in there. Got his 10 minutes and asked the question about the 40 photographs and names that were being taken around by the FBI to all those gun shops, right? Here is one of the gun shop employees. I'm not sure if he's an owner or an employee, but he was there and Fox interviewed him about the FBI being there. And here's what he said. Take a look.
They had given me a list, a paper list of people that had pictures and names on it. And he wanted to know if I could help him pull up in my system if any of these people have purchased a gun in the last year.
And from there, how did you respond? Can you kind of go more into that based on your comfort level?
Based on my comfort level, originally I was a little skeptical, but then, you know, I feel bad for the family of... I forgot the lady's first name, but the Guthrie case, you know, I felt bad for the family, and honestly, anything that could help them find the person. I was willing to help. So I said that I'd be willing to help, and it was about three pages. And the way that our system is set up is we type in the last name of the person, and it usually brings up all their information, first name, last name, phone number, address, all of that. And I went through the three pages. There was probably six or seven names. There were six or seven people per sheet. And so I just went through each sheet, all three sheets, and I typed in the last name, and nothing popped up. And the thing that I just noticed the most was that the last names were pretty familiar with our customers. So I could look at the names and be like, okay, yeah, that person might have been in here before. But honestly, the last names were really uncommon. So, like, I was typing in the last names. I was like, I don't recognize this one. I don't recognize that one. And so I just went through the three sheets, typed them all in, and none of those people had ever been here.
How many names and photos total?
To be honest, I don't remember the exact number of names per sheet, but it was three papers. And I want to say that there was probably six to eight people per sheet. They had photographs and they had names, and it was six to eight per sheet.
You had mentioned beforehand too that you noticed something when looking through the photographs. Can you kind of go back into that?
Yeah, so I mean, the FBI agent didn't tell me why he was here other than just he wanted to know if somebody or any of these people that he had on the papers had purchased a gun from us. But as I was looking at the sheets, because I had watched the video on the news of the kidnapper, you know, sticking bushes in the camera, and it showed his face, and even though he was wearing a ski mask, you could sort of see the outline of his goatee, his mustache and everything. So I was able to look at the photos that he was showing me, and I told the FBI agent, I was like, I'm no investigator, but my intuition is telling me, based on how these people's facial hair looks like, it looks like the guy that was on camera at that house doing the kidnapping. And he honestly kind of just smirked and took a deep breath, and he was like, yeah, that's why I'm here. He was like, we're going to be going to different gun shops checking to see if any of these names that I'm showing you here, any of these people have purchased a gun in the last year. And so my intuition was right. That's what he was here for. And then so I just went on to check on our system to see if any of those people that were on the sheet had been in here to buy a gun, but unfortunately none of them had.
Okay, so there's somebody saying that the FBI has been there and showed him pictures and names, and he's trying to help. Here is a Fox reporter who's given his 10 minutes with Sheriff Chris Nanos asking about the report that Brian Enten broke yesterday, that there are 40 names and photographs being taken around by the FBI, just like that guy you saw being shown these pictures and being asked, have you seen these people in your shop? Have they bought a weapon here? Watch what happens when the sheriff is asked about that question.
We've heard, for instance, the FBI is asking about 40 people at gun stores.
That's not true. We haven't narrowed it down to anything other than we have certain pieces of evidence that we're looking at to try to find this individual.
Do what now? You literally said that's not true. It is true, Sheriff Nanos. It is true. Do you not know that it's happening? Or are you not telling the truth? Because I'm starting to wonder if you're just not being honest with us. I know that you haven't been honest about some of the things that I've reported, because things that happened in your department in the first couple of days, I had a source on it and you said it wasn't true. And now I'm starting to wonder if you're really sharing the truth with a lot of these reporters, especially after you just looked at a Fox reporter and said, that's not true. Bullshit. It's true. We're actually seeing the gun shop owners saying it's true because they were there and the FBI showed up. Okay, and to the extent that you might wonder about the inexperience, he's bitching and moaning to Brian Enten, saying, oh, and all these complaints that we don't have a lot of experience here. I reported that. Brian has reported that. There was a big exodus out of that sheriff's department, and a lot of new guys came in. And the average experience length of years on the force now is like three. That comes from a former homicide detective at the Pima County Sheriff's Department. He was the one who said the average, you know, number of years that they have in experience is about three. And the word that he used was, that's a baby cop. Okay, so the sheriff is pissed about that too, saying we have lots of experience and lots of department heads that are experienced. And to the extent you might wonder about the experience, Pima County's five-year homicide rate from their 2024 county annual report. The homicide rate is 14 per year. So that's not a lot. That's not a lot of homicides, you know. So the experience that you get dealing with homicides at 14 per year ain't the same as New York City, you know, ain't the same as Los Angeles or Chicago or any of these places, right? So there may be just not as much muscle memory with some of the younger guys if you're only dealing with 14 a year. And it's not a huge department of sheriff's deputies in the homicide unit either. And again, it was the homicide unit. I keep saying that only because they were the ones that showed up to process the scene. They saw some signs inside Nancy Guthrie's house that said, we need the homicide guys in here. Maybe they saw the blood on the front porch. Maybe, as my source said, they saw the blood inside the house. Back door wide open was what my source said. Smashed cameras, plural, nest cameras was what my source said. Some of these things are all bearing out to be true. Okay, next thing. Brian Enten witnessed something today. Just interesting to see what's happening investigatively. Again, the sheriff has said that we're going to see activities as the investigation continues. But today, Enten saw two men who showed up at Nancy Guthrie's house. One of them was in a pickup truck and one of them was in a Subaru. Neither one of these vehicles was marked. They weren't wearing any kind of insignia. They didn't have badges. They didn't have guns. One man had a briefcase. And when I say briefcase, it was like a big, thick, black, wide briefcase, like that thick, right? Almost like the kind that you see lawyers carrying into court because they just have so many legal documents. It kind of looked like one of those. The video shows these guys arriving and then checking in with the sheriff's deputy and being allowed to, you know, head back to the back of the house. What they were doing, don't know. But Michael Ruiz from Fox News said that the Fox flight team spotted two men arriving at Nancy Guthrie's home Tuesday afternoon, that they walked through the home and entered into the garage. Michael Ruiz also witnessed something else that was interesting. Two men with badges and guns, they entered the home next door to Nancy Guthrie's. They spent a couple of minutes inside and then came outside, got into their vehicle, and were there for a while. But then Mac Colson, who works for Arizona Family, Mac Colson posted on Twitter that she had video of investigators on a ladder messing around with the spotlights and maybe a camera. And if you look at the video, it's kind of hard to see, like, that guy's up there and there's definitely spotlights. I don't know if it's a camera in the middle and he's messing with it and messing with it. And he's got his own phone up there. But it's just sort of interesting to see them working on the neighbor's video. Cause I would have thought that would have happened ages ago, right? If you're trying to retrieve their video, are you retrieving it from the camera? Wouldn't you want to retrieve it from their service? Maybe they don't have a subscription either. Don't know. It didn't look like they were removing the camera, though. It just looked like they were futzing with it. But it's just sort of an odd, you know, they got the ladder up there and both of them are messing about. So as all that was happening, something else happened in Milwaukee. I know it's a long way away from Arizona, but on top of the $100,000 right now that the FBI is offering as a reward for information that leads to whomever did this, to Nancy Guthrie and maybe to the, you know, the safe return of Nancy Guthrie, there is this lawyer in Milwaukee who's decided to add another $100,000 to the reward for information leading to the arrest of suspected abduction of Nancy Guthrie. The lawyer's name is Michael Hupy, H-U-P-Y. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. I'm sorry, Michael. But he's the president of Milwaukee Crime Stoppers. It's great. He thinks that the FBI requirement for personal information might deter people from coming forward for that reward. So he's putting up another $100,000 reward out of Milwaukee. So nice. A couple other things that I might have missed this from yesterday, so my apologies. Fallible. The sheriff put out a note yesterday, but I didn't see this right away. It's about the suspect clothing. Pima County Sheriff's Department can confirm that the clothing seen in the video may have been purchased from Walmart, but is not exclusively available at Walmart. This remains a possibility only. The investigation is ongoing and information may change as new details develop. I think lots has changed. I think you were zeroed in on one person at the beginning, as my source said, and I think you've changed course, and that's what you should do. You go where the evidence takes you. You absolutely should. But the clothing is interesting. The clothing may have been purchased at Walmart. We know that the backpack is a Walmart backpack. We know that that gun holster was available $10 at Walmart, according to reporters. But the clothing remains a possibility only. Also, a clarification from the Pima County Sheriff's Department. PCSD has never stated that this was a burglary gone wrong. Any reports indicating otherwise are inaccurate. This remains a very active investigation. There was a local reporter who said that she had sources that had said this is leaning towards a burglary gone wrong. Sheriff came out saying no, for what that's worth. And then just one last little dangling participle, just odd, two dangling participles. A landscaper showed up at Nancy Guthrie's home yesterday and was allowed by the sheriff's deputies to go about his work. I think a lot of people were very upset when they saw pool guys, you know, show up and clean the pool. But we were told that was at the request of the Guthrie family. Look, they have to continue maintaining the home, right? You just got to keep doing the normal business of what a home requires. And that's what I assume maybe happened with this landscaper who showed up yesterday. Don't know what the landscaper did or was there to do, but he was allowed to do it. And then yet again today, the crazy pizza delivery showed up again today. And I think that the press corps went ballistic, right? They were really upset about it this time. They're like, hey, get the hell out of there. I guess the pizza delivery guy got that address. Sheriff has already reached out to say, hey, everybody, please do not be ordering deliveries to Nancy Guthrie's home. Kind of stands to reason, right? Don't litter at the sheriff's department and don't order shit to Nancy Guthrie's home. What you can do if you want to be a part of this is call 1-800-CALL-FBI. If you know something, if you know somebody, if you suspect that somebody might be behind this, if you recognize the gait, the body type, the balaclava, the backpack, the pants, all of the above, if you have anything, if you know anything, 1-800-CALL-FBI. Because you know what? Crowdsourcing works. People can shit all over social media as much as they want, but crowdsourcing does work. It does help. Just ask the Petitos how Gabby Petito was found. People like you, people in the true crime community, crowdsourcing can help. So 1-800-CALL-FBI, tweet that out, put it all over your social media. Hey, everybody, thank you so much for being here, for being a part of my community. Don't forget to subscribe, please. And if you remember one thing, truth isn't just serious, it's drop dead serious.